Okay, friends, if you'd like to find your Bibles, log in, log on, do whatever it is that you do to be able to access God's Word, and turn with me, if you could, to Revelation chapter 5. For those of you who have Bibles, it's in my Bible, it's on page 1237, but I know that's not going to help you. The book of Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scrolls. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll on the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard a voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of God. But hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, living and active, able to just cut us open and reveal, Lord, our hearts. Lord, we pray today, Lord, reveal our hearts. Inspire us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, it's lovely to see you all, friends. Great to see you. We're in a series on worship. But before we do that, I wonder if you recognize this guy. That's right, Antonio Conte. He is the manager and coach of the winning Premiership football team this year, Chelsea Football Club. One thing that I find interesting is to watch coaches, to see what they do to inspire their people. The one thing that I've seen about him is he's never shy in expressing himself, as you can see. But if you see that bottom image down here, this image here, he's not facing the team. He's facing the crowd. And he's encouraging them and roaring them on to roar on encouragement for those that are playing. They do say of football that it's a game where there are 22 people desperately in need of some rest and 60,000 desperately in need of some exercise. But actually, in the book of Revelation, when we see the book of Revelation, any time, remember I said this a couple of weeks ago, any time you get a glimpse of heaven, worship's going on. And when you look at Revelation, we can see this as a bit of a manual for worship. And so what I'd like to do is to have a look at this book. The idea of the series that we're in at the moment, subtitled Gaining a Life of Glorious Surrender, the idea is for us to buff up and polish up our worship a bit, to understand what it means to give ourselves in worship, to be informed and therefore intentional on how we pour ourselves out to God. It will allow us to go deeper personally and corporately in worship. Now, today I want to define worship as this. It's the giving over of ourselves to the adoration of something. We all do it. We all worship something. We order our priorities around that very thing that we adore. It could be a boat. It could be a football team. It could be the Warriors. They need as much prayer as possible. I do understand that. It could be leisure. It could be money. It could be status. We could order our priorities around love, being loved, and loving. However, the true, right, and proper place for our adoration must stop and go no further than God himself. When we right our priorities, our worship becomes a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. So what have we learned in the series so far? Well, first of all, we learned this, that people are worshippers. You can't get away from it. Whether you're in church or not in church, you worship something. And the idea is that we need to make sure that our worship is correct. Worship is also not about what we say, but what we do. How we act sometimes belies what we say. Thirdly, God is watching our worship. He is jealous for it. He says, don't worship anything else because I'll know. I love you and I want you to pour yourself out to me. And then finally, 2 weeks ago, we learned that actually, I think, that actually some of the sweetest worship that rises into the nostrils of God is the worship that is given when life is tough, where there is no calves in the stall and the fields have failed, the crops have failed, yet, according to Haggai, yet I will worship the Lord. It's a great sacrifice. So we're looking here today in the book of Revelation. There's no better place to look at worship than the very birthplace of worship, heaven itself. The dwelling place of God. Revelation was written approximately 95 AD by St. John, John the disciple, then the apostle, the church leader, who was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, somewhere in the Aegean Sea, I think, or somewhere around there. And he was imprisoned there because he would not stop talking about Jesus. Well, I think that's quite a good thing to be imprisoned for, isn't it? And he was praying. His ministry had been hindered, but that did not hinder him from praying and worshiping the Lord. I was with the Lord and worshiping him on the Lord's day. And the Lord gave him this great vision. So in here, we see a mirror. We see a mirror reflecting back to us what worship is, what it looks like, what we're trying to achieve, what we're trying to attain. So let's have a little look in. Turn with me if you could. Stay in Revelation 4 and 5. The things that we learn, what lessons can we learn from heaven about worship? Worship central. Worship HQ. Heaven 101. What can we learn? Well, first thing this, worship is the natural response of seeing God. Revelation chapter 4. After this I look, and there before me was a door standing open, and the voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, come here and I'm going to show you some stuff. At once I was taken, and there was a throne, and there were people. And these thousands upon thousands of people are all captivated with one vision. That vision is him who sits on the throne. You see, when God reveals himself to us, the natural response of humanity is to worship. The natural response of the angelic realm is to worship. Those four creatures that we never quite understand, their natural response is to worship God, because God reveals himself again and again and again. It's interesting that this book of Revelation, the chapters 4 and 5, are like concentric circles. You throw a pebble in a pond and you see these circles going out. And so you see these circles in the book of Revelation. First of all, you see these four, you see the lamb right in the middle. And then you see the four creatures and the 24 elders. And then getting into chapter 5, you see the angelic host, 10,000 times 10,000. I think that's quite a lot. And then you see every creature on heaven and earth, like all being swept up into this glorious worship of God, because God has revealed himself. See, the great cry of heaven, and therefore outcry, must be God is worthy. Because it's truth. He's the only one who is worthy. Yeah? Great. You are welcome to say amen or get excited or do anything you like. We want to break the spirit of control and release us. Yeah? Amen. Praise God. Oh, Lord. You see, if God were not worthy of worship, we wouldn't worship. Heaven wouldn't be worshiping. But God is worthy. Front and center. When we see him, we worship. Matt Redman, that great sort of songwriter, well, he is a songwriter, of the latter part of the 20th century and this century as well. One of his, he's constantly caught up with this theme in his songs. Lord, you're giving me breath to breathe out your praise. I breathe in to breathe out your praise. What a true reckoning that is. A resetting of our very being. And in one of his songs, he said, worship comes from seeing you. And maybe if your worship is feeling a little bit stale, maybe you can pray this. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me your glory, that I might respond to you, not in a measured manner, but in the way that heaven cries. Lesson number one, respond in worship. Number two, in heaven, everyone worships. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and on the sea, just in case you're wondering, and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne. Everything in heaven is worshiping God. Everything. There is no opt-out. I've looked in the scriptures. I've even looked at the Greek. And there is no sign of a mistranslation. There's no bit that it says, and lo, I saw a multitude of people, but over in the corner were a few with their arms folded, saying, you're not going to catch me doing that. Everybody was caught up in the worship of God. It's not an opt-out. You don't get to opt out in heaven. So let's not do it here. Let's opt in to a heavenly activity. Each one of us is either an atmosphere maker or an atmosphere breaker. And we need to decide which we're going to be. Are we going to join in with a throng, or are we going to separate ourselves? The choice is yours. I know what I'm choosing, but you know that anyway. Lesson number two, cooperate. Look, the word cooperate means to operate with, to join in with. It doesn't necessarily mean just do as you're told. It means function along with others in this function and glorious thing of worship. Next lesson we learn is this in the book of Revelation, that worship is done with your voice and your whole being. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, which I haven't marked in my Bible. Romans chapter 12, that great short verse that actually, if we could live this, I think we'd get somewhere. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, revelation, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offering your body to worship is a spiritual activity. And then he says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. What is the pattern of the world? The pattern of the world is we get to opt out. We withdraw. We hold back. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world. So what does heaven require of our worship? First of all, our voice. We place a high priority on sung worship here at St. Margaret's because it reflects what's going on in heaven. In Revelation 4 and 5, there are five bits of poetry. Two of them are known as sort of statements, as it were, or prose. The other three are known as songs. But actually, prose is written in a song form anyway. There are five stunning songs in the book of Revelation in 4 and 5. Heaven is saturated by the voice of those worshiping God. Have you noticed in Revelation 4 and 5 that heaven's really noisy? Would you forgive me? But heaven's not Anglican. Nothing wrong with Anglicanism. Nothing wrong with it at all. But somehow I think that we have constricted and constrained ourselves so much that we are unable to let go before God with our full voice. Heaven is a noisy place. Chapter 4, verse 8, they never stopped saying. The elders laid their crowns down and said, they sang a new voice. The angels were singing. Everything in creation was singing. Worship is about singing as well as lifestyle. But let's not say, oh, it's all about lifestyle, because it's also about our voice. William Barclay, the great theologian, said this, here is the truth, that heaven and earth and all that is within them is designed for the praise of Jesus. And it's our privilege to lend our voices and our lives to this vast chorus of praise. For that chorus is necessarily incomplete so long as there is one voice missing. Blaise Pascal observed that the people who have the greatest influence on shaping the hearts and the minds of any generation are not the lawmakers, but they that write the songs. The great multitude was singing and stating how good God is. We are called to cry out to God. It's how we were created, and it is the created order's purpose to sing out to God. So we worship God with our voice. Secondly, we worship God with our being. I referenced you to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to tell you a story. This is a true story. This is not a vicar's story, okay? You know, those sort of imaginary stories that try and twist and bend you emotionally. This is something that actually really, truly happened. There was a pastor who was babysitting his grandson. And they were watching a car chase program. Police arresting a guy, pulled him over. And as the police do, they come out with these things, don't they? So the guy came out of the car, and this little grandson's watching the television. And the guy comes out of the car, and he puts his hands up. And so the little grandson turns to the pastor and says, Papa, why is he worshiping? Do you get it? What we do with our body signals something. Now, I want to address something, and I'll address it in a second. 24 elders fell face down. Someone just pointed out to me that the elders must have very good knees because they're constantly falling down and getting back up again. The angels encircled the throne. They were in movement. Revelation chapter 7, everybody on heaven and earth were holding palm branches and praising God, declaring his worthiness. Listen to Psalm 63. I'm just going to pull out a few verses for us again. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. How's your body? Is it longing for God? I, David writes, I will lift up my hands. With singing, my mouth will praise you. David knew the discipline of worship. Not an opt-out. It's an opt-in. Now, I just want to say something very kindly to us all. We may have been brought up by our parents and by our culture to behave in church. And I know that for some of our friends in the Indian community, part of that sign of respect that is given when you come to a worship thing is to fold your arms. Now, I understand that because what this is I'm not going to overpower anything and I'm showing you that I'm humble. But actually, if you look at the reflection of heaven, the cry and the call is to go beyond that sense of humility into complete surrender. Now, I'm not telling every song you to raise your hands, but I'm saying let's free ourselves to surrender in a way that is beautiful to the Lord. And for other people, this is the way we worship. Or maybe this is the way we worship. Guys, let's refocus worship because He is worthy. Third lesson we learned is engage. Engage your heart, your body, and your voice. Thirdly, worship is to God, about God, and for God. Let's not get any of this nonsense that, oh, I didn't much like that song that we were singing today. Because it's not for you. Now, we are careful with the songs that we choose here. Because sometimes you can get into the Jesus has saved me, now I'm alive and I'm great. And actually, that's not worship. That's just sort of patting ourselves on the back. We need to make sure that our worship is Jesus-centered. Jesus be the center. That's why we sing also songs that are personally based. Lord, I love you, and I lift my voice to worship you. Lord, thank you for saving me. I worship you. It's about a corporate declaration, but also an individual declaration that God is worthy of our worship. Interesting line in Revelation chapter 5. He says in verse 10, this great song, in this song, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. The primary role of a priest is to minister to God, and then from God to minister to the people. The role of worship is first and foremost a ministry to God. We minister to the heart of God. Bill Johnson, leader of the Bethel Church movement, said worship is a ministry to God. Everything we do for God is supposed to be an overflow of our relationship to Him. Often we get it the other way around. We try and do stuff in order for God to love us. But actually, we're supposed to love first and then respond to the calling of the Spirit within us. Problem is that sometimes we just misunderstand that. I want to talk a little bit, if I may, about being led in worship. We've got very talented musicians who give their lives over to leading us in the best musical worship we can. Why? Because God deserves the best. They pray for a week beforehand. They choose listening to the Spirit of God. And it is our role, as in heaven, following the lead of the angels, following the lead of the 24 elders, following the lead of the four creatures, it is our role to lead that which we're being led into. So as we lead you in worship today, be willing to follow. Because we're trying to take you to heaven. Sometimes it might sound like hell, but it's not. We're trying to take you to heaven. giving of ourselves over. So really, the fifth lesson is focus. Focus, fourth lesson, focus, focus, focus. It's about God. It's not about the latest rhythm. It's not about the latest song. It's about Him. Him, 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 Him alone. And the last lesson, guys, is that worship goes on forever, so we might as well get used to it now. Do you know, this is 2,000 years ago, the Lord ripped open the heavens and showed John what was going on. It's always gone on. It's going on now and will go on forever. So let's not get to heaven with a surprise. Oh, you mean I've got to sing this again? Let's get ourselves toned worshipfully and ready for God. You see, night and day they never stopped worshiping. Why night and day they never stopped worshiping? Why is worship always going on? Because God is eternal. God's worthiness is eternal. God's goodness is eternal. Therefore, the response must be eternal. Now and always. God has ordained praise and He sustains it by revealing Himself again and again. We're able to sing to the Lord a new song. For those of you who... Well, no, I'm not even going to say that. Worship goes on forever, guys. So sometimes it's good to sing something new. But my challenge to us, friends, is this. Will you buy in? Because it's about Him, not about us. You see, when God is revealed, we respond. Ask for God to reveal Himself to you. Everyone in heaven does it, so let's opt in. Worship is done with our voice and our being, so let's get loosey-goosey and just go for it, guys. Do you know, if you want to kneel, if you want to lie on the floor, if you want to wave your arms, it's not for those around you. It's for Him. He is worthy. And it's about God, and it goes on forever. So guys, shall we stand and pray? One thing that we need to be careful of is that we don't worship worship. Worship was never meant to be worshipped. Worship is merely a vehicle by which we express ourselves to Him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb be honor and glory, power, strength, and wisdom forever and ever. So I'm going to pray a prayer just to say something like this. Lord, loosen me up. Some of you might have been hurt in the past and you're holding yourself back. Let go of that hurt. Push into God. Some of you, this is new territory. The Lord will guide you. Father, we thank You that You are worthy and we choose to exalt You. Lord, You are enthroned on the praises of Your people. And we pray, Lord, build Your throne here as we praise You. And Lord, for those of us, Lord, that find physical expression difficult, we pray, Lord, that You would help us to overcome that for You, to give You glory. And Lord, I pray that You would break now, in the name of Jesus, any spirit of control and any spirit of holding back. We command it now to be gone in Jesus' name. And in its place, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. We pray freedom over us and over this entire church, that Your praise may go on forever through us. Father, for those of us that think we sound like a crow, Lord, that do not have confidence in our voice, Lord, we sacrifice it to You and offer You our voice, knowing that, Lord, that You hear it differently. We pray, Lord, be glorified in me and in this church. And I choose today to say yes to you. Lord, break us free. Amen.